thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to express what is going on in the Orthodox community. And I do want to ask you for a favor, that when you want to ask me something, please raise your hand before, because I understand you're a very high-level official in the child molesting unit, and I don't want that your voice should be recorded here, because I do intend this to put on as public information. Thank you. Let's start from the beginning. A few years ago, when I opened my hotline, I was talking about child molestation. And the more I spoke about it, the more people started to wake up. There are so many people who were molested, and because of it, they felt that they were the only ones that it happened to them, and they were always the shadow in the closet. They wouldn't come out, they wouldn't talk about it, and they wouldn't even go for help. They wouldn't even tell their own wives after they get married, or they wouldn't tell for the husbands if the child was a girl that was molested. It came to a point where it was unbearable anymore, because people used to fall on me with problems and problems and problems. I tried the best to get in touch with all the Jewish agencies, to every place possible. I tried to get these people help. Today, psychiatry costs a lot of money. Most people couldn't afford it. So I would be in the position to try to broker them a help consultant without any charge or with minimum charge. It came to a point where I started to talk about it more and more, and I told the children when they go to camp, and I also told the children that in the classrooms they should be very well aware of what's happening around them, the teachers, and so forth and so on. Because I did get a lot of reports, and this is what the basic reports came down to. There are two basic problems why it's happening in our community. Number one, it's called the mikveh, the ritual bath. Now, if I wasn't at liberty to talk about it, I wouldn't be, because it's a very holy thing. But because for the past 27 years I've been doing ritual baths all over the world at no charge, I feel very comfortable to say that I don't talk against the mikveh, because I have something against the mikveh. But the unfortunate thing is that there's a lot of things happening there. Now, before, we know in Judaism that everything, the higher it is in holiness, there's a more resistance. And a mikveh is one of the highest things that there is. And therefore, there's a big resistance. The problem of the mikveh is as follows. In the mikveh, people go in there without clothes. So obviously, there's a problem. Then there's another problem, that every mikveh is 4x6 or 7x9, and that's about the maximum size of the mikveh. Now, you can understand that on Fridays and before holidays, we go in the middle of the day also to the mikveh, and they take along all the children and everything. So what happens is it's very crowded. Now, in a wedding hall, it says that you cannot come in more than 200 people or 300 people. And in a mikveh, they should also have the same thing. Now, the measuring should not be made in the hall of the mikveh or where they undress themselves. It should be made in the physical mikveh where they immerse, because that is the place where they would get together and where all these not clean things are starting to happen. So, that's number one. I worked for years trying to tell the rabbis who are in charge that they should make sure that these mikvahs are kept very, very carefully under supervision. Well, the rabbi doesn't really care, because supervision costs money. So I tried something else, to tell him to put in a turnstile with an electric eye so that we see who's going in and who's coming out. And also in the mikveh itself, there should be an eye that they should see what's happening. So everybody starts, no, it's not ethical and it's not modest. You know the whole stories that they all start. And it was rejected. Because I made the whole community well aware of what's happening, I made the women aware when they're sending their small children, who really have no reason to go to a mikveh, just like they don't have to put on tefillin every day, which means something that the Jewish people put on when they pray, and they don't have to fast on the holiest day, which is Yom Kippur. The same way, they don't have to go into a mikvah. So the people started to understand that, and I get a lot of calls from people who run mikvahs that most of the children under 13 are not even coming anymore to the mikvahs because the parents started to understand what kind of danger involves in this. That's one of the biggest killers that there is. Now, some big mikvahs did already put in electric eyes, and they're throwing out people on a daily basis. But it's not what it should be, because there must be in all these small cities like Williamsburg Borough Park, there must have about 200 mikvahs minimum. And what's happening there is unbelievable. The next thing is teachers. Teachers, pedophiles, they had a good time for 40 years plus. They did everything they wanted to. If needed be, they would smack up the child after he would say that the teacher touched me or the Rebbe touched me. A Rebbe is the Jewish teacher. It's not a rabbi, it's a Rebbe. It's not the same title as a rabbi. They would smack him up and they would say, "You're talking a very foul language." So after a while, if the child was molested by the teacher, he would have no business going telling anybody, because the best thing that can happen is he'll get smacked up for it. Then what happened was, if he came home to his father didn't know how to handle the situation, he would do probably the same thing, just smack him up. And then what? Then the boy would be left without help and smacked up. So that's a double abuse. So this is the way it went on. When I started talking about this subject, it started to educate people. In fact, everybody's educated worldwide now, because the hotline went very far, and also the show that I had with Zev Brenner, he said there must have been 500,000 people listening. I got calls from the whole world, how good it was and how they're going to start watching. All of a sudden, as there was a build-up, people starting to learn about what's happening, parents starting to learn, children starting to learn, there was also a build-up from the pedophiles. And they threatened me a few times that if I'm going to continue, they will kill me. Now, the question starts like this. Why, if this is a Jewish community, and one of the first things in Judaism is that you have to live a clean life, you cannot do adultery, why is it that these people would want to kill me rather than killing those people who are committing the crimes? That is a very serious question. And also, why does it come to a point where they want to kill you? I mean, there's a lot of ways to, you know, to tell somebody or ask somebody than just threatening him with a death penalty. That is a very, very, very serious question. And we're going to talk about this. And this is what I need the help from the child abuse. What is happening in the community? And if we don't take care of it, where the community is going to come to? Now, there is a mafia gang, which they call themselves in Hebrew, and it's translated in English that they safeguard modesty. Now, these people basically work together with the rabbis, and what they do is they extort money from every person that is accused of doing bad things in the community, or if they feel comfortable to just extort money, they would do it. They made so much money that they can bail out the AIN insurance company together with the Washington Mutual Bank without a blink of an eye, because it's really big monies. We're talking about first shots, 10,000 plus. They can walk over to a teenage boy and start talking filthy things, and they would say, "Did anybody ever bother you? You don't look so happy." Now, the young boy has nobody to talk to, feels comfortable that somebody's going to listen, and he starts telling him the whole truth, what's happened. take this man, they call him, and they come up with an appointment, and they say, look, if you don't give us $10,000, what we're going to do, we are going to publicize your name, we're going to humiliate you by your parents, by your wife, by your children, by your community, and then you'll be humiliated. So if you don't pay us the money, that answer money is $10,000. That's the way it's been going on for tens of years. When I once said that in a certain internet site that they should put in names, there came in more than 64 names to be exact, and they all gave their stories how they were robbed blind. Some of them admit they did something, some of them said that no, it was just an accusation. In fact, this week alone, somebody told me he works in a grocery store, never bothered a fly, married, happy married, has no intentions to bother other people. They came in and they told him, we heard that you bothered girls. They pulled him into a synagogue. They said, if you don't give us $10,000, we're going to splinter your name all over the place. So the man is a working man. He doesn't make $10,000 in a half a year. And he said to them, look, do whatever you have to, and that's it. So he overcame them. But most people don't overcome them. And sometimes, if they did something, which is a minor thing, they would be blamed for if they did something very bad. And this is wrong. Because they are not agents to punish with finances the person who does evil. It's either they give him over to the police or they don't have anything to do with it. Now, if one doesn't want to pay and he's a wise guy, or if he's divorced and he has no wife or children and he doesn't care, then they say, we'll give you over to Charles Hines, which is the district attorney. So this is what's going on the whole time. And this is a multi-million dollar business. And the rabbis are partners in it because they are the ones that are helping. They get a fair share of the pie also. Now, let's put it this way. If the rabbis would say, if anybody commits adultery, we're going to give him over to Charles Hines, we're going to arrest a few people, like what's happening now after my teachings, there's been an arrest in Borough Park, there's going to be another one, it's coming up now, then what would happen is that the community would start becoming much cleaner. Just as anybody knows that if he deals with drugs, he's going to be arrested. They try not to do it. There is a certain percent that does it, but it's a very small percent. And the same is true for every other thing, every other crime. People try not to do it because they want to stay out of the hands of the authorities. They don't want to go to jail. That's not the intentions of life. So what is happening is that the rabbis are backing them. Now, I would like to discuss my part of the story. I am a fairly nice guy, don't bother anybody, try to teach them right from wrong because I saw that a lot of bad things were happening and I was successful to get to a point where I taught them what I had to. Can you imagine that 35 rabbis out of, let's say, 200 or 300 from the community came out with a decree that I have no place where to go to worship, no synagogue should let me in, and all the ritual beds that I built, because I built them all over the world at no charge, and in my city in Williamsburg, I built 8 of them, plus a few hundred worldwide, all of that is not kosher. Can you imagine? And I'm considered one of the top experts in the ritual beds worldwide. When somebody on the other end of the world would build a ritual bed, they would consult with me. If they have a question on the laws of rituality, they would call me. Can you imagine to write such a letter? Does it make sense? Nobody understands it. But I do, and I will explain it. 20 out of those 35 are partners in this crime. I'll give you an example. In Borough Park, there were 2 rapes this summer. One was a 19-year-old boy raped a 16-year-old girl. Then there was another one, a 14-year-old girl was picked up in a car and she was raped. After those two rapes, the government is trying to get in here, the police, what's happening? So, the first one, this 90-year-old, went to one of these rabbis, and he signed on the piece of paper, and he delivered them an envelope. How I know about it is because while they were signing this decree, somebody went to talk to him about it, and he saw that they put him in this envelope. Now, it was heavy and thick. And he goes to the parents and tells the parents, listen, if you're not going to shut up about this, we're going to throw up all your children from school. So if you need a little help, we'll give you a few dollars and we'll try to help you. They give him enough to go two times to a psychiatrist. And then they say, well, the girl is anyway a sick girl. And they don't understand that it came because she was raped. And that's what's happening. And this is mind-boggling. Now, Mr. Dov Heiken, who is the assemblyman in Borough Park, and he's a very special man, on the second rape, he gave out from his office flyers that if anybody that knows about it and leads us to the arrest, we'll give him $10,000. A month later, he increased that by another $10,000. He's going to give him $20,000. And I told Dov, when I saw him, I said, listen, we all know who did it. Everybody knows. All the rabbis know. They can tell you. They got money for keeping it a secret. So you're giving $10,000, and they also got the $10,000. So they're not willing to share information with you. So as long as these threats, that you threat these people who want to come forward, is not going to stop, you'll get no place. And guess what? Summer is over, it's almost winter, and sure enough, we got nowhere, right? Okay, that's what's happening. Now, there are hundreds of cases they want to come forward. I interviewed at least 20 boys and young girls that want to share the story with the police, the story with people who can help them, but they are being threatened, humiliated. Nobody wants to look like me. Nobody wants. They put out hundreds of posters in the whole city with this decree. And they flew flyers in the tens of thousands of flyers in Williamsburg. And there was a picture of myself and a snake next to it. And they said, chop off his head. He's a snake. Nobody wants to look like this. It's only a miracle that my wife and my children are with me because they hear what's going on and they're very upset. But other people, you would call them up, they call my wife to bother the children, they call my parents, and my parents are with me too. If not for that, I would have been shut down 2 years ago and I never would have came forward with any of my teachings. This way, at least I got something going. The other 15 rabbis have a different problem. They themselves are pedophiles. They molested children. And because of it, they want to cover it up. The other problem is that some of them have children that molested children. In other words, they're rabbis, but their children are unfortunately not on the right track. And they do a lot of harm in the community. There's a few rabbis that are signed there that their children are known to be top pedophiles, and they're in teaching and also principal schools. That's why they are doing it. So there's a big million-dollar money flow involved, and on the other hand, they don't want that this adultery should stop, because either they're involved in it or their children are involved in it. And this is where we have to discuss the problem. The problem is not that we don't have attacks and assaults. The problem is not that people don't want to come forward. The problem is we are tortured just like the Jews were tortured by Stalin's time, not a bit less. And just like we were tortured by Hitler in World War II, if anybody wants to say one word of what's happening, they chop his head off right away. Now, all this humiliation that they did to me, and they threatened me, it didn't bother me. I said, listen, we're going to go through it, we're going to go to the police, we're going to do what we have to. The rabbi saw that their decree meant nothing to me. I changed places to worship. I went over to the east side every day, and they saw that nothing is going to change. So they hired a mafia, a hitman. Twice he followed me, and he put the gun, the bullet, to my head, and he said, if you don't stop, we're going to blow your brains. The first time he said, oh, this is only a warning. The second time he was ready to blow my brains, and luckily I was saved. And this is a story for itself. So what we're talking about is low gypsies from the 1400s in these small villages doing evil. Vigilantians, they don't know that there's a law system. Now the question is, if there is a law system, where is the law system? Where are the police? Where's Mr. Charles Hines? Where's everybody? The answer is very simple. We have liaisons in all the police stations. In the 90th precinct, the liaison, I don't want to mention names now. I said I will be cleared the whole time without names because we don't need lawsuits. We don't need people to fall on us. But the liaison was caught with unethical things when they busted his computer. The other liaison in Borough Park is on the NYPD list that he's a child molester. And he's a liaison. He's a state police. Or he works in the state police office. What does that tell you? That tells you that we have the wrong people who are looking after us. And I explain that the reason why the United States is such a powerful government is because they have Democrats and Republicans. Because if you have opposition teams, you have to work right. But if you don't have oppositions, Stalin didn't have opposition, so he made the whole thing wrong. And then it busted. And this is what's happening here. We have a one-track liaison who commits a lot of felonies and adultery. So they, of course, are going to back these rabbis and all these people who are doing it. I'll give you an example. Somebody arrested a man in Borough Park because his child was molested from a man. An hour later, he calls up this man, and he says to him, ha-ha, I'm out. He says, how did it happen? He says, this and this liaison took me out. He calls me up, what do we do now? I said, you have no problem. You call the child abuse, and then you'll see what's going to happen. 3 hours later, he was arrested, and he was in Rikers Island, and he's out to $250,000 bail. What is happening is that we have nobody to outcome. These are people that are here for extortion. Now, the rabbis themselves are not putting the stiff laws, and every time somebody would go to the government, police or so, they would call him an informer and they would throw him out from all the synagogues. The other thing is that their rabbis physically don't go collecting these bloody money. They have these people who are called safeguarding the modesty, they are the ones, they are attacking people, picking up people, hitting people, humiliating people, trying to extort big monies from these people, and they make a living on this. And we know exactly who each one is. And they are the ones that told me, if you don't stop the hotline, we're going to bring you down. Now, I would like to explain to you, as being one of these top people in the child abuse, this community is a very humble and ethical community. Most of them, anyway. And the church in the Catholic Church, in order for them to start listening to what's happening, somebody had to blow the brains out from one of the reverends or pastors. And that's when the Pope had to bend on his knees and say, "We apologize." And this is the very crucial thing. Our community is not far from doing the same thing. They are now in the moment that some of them say, "We are going to take knives and guns, and we're going to get to these people, the rabbis and those people who consider themselves safeguarding modesty, and they are just the opposite." And it's been happening so many times, and there's so many people are injured that these people are getting very upset. Now, I'm not threatening. I'm not saying that somebody's going to take a gun and you should be afraid. I'm telling you it's happening. And if we don't stop it, we don't make an end to what's happening, it's going to happen soon. And the reason why it's happening is because we have nobody to talk to. Now, Mr. Charles Himes, who is the DA, okay, he needs votes. So he goes between the raindrops. He doesn't get wet. He would spend millions of dollars to indict Mr. Rabbi Coco. And at the end, which everybody felt it wasn't fair, and guess what? Rabbi Coco was again this summer a teacher for children when everybody knows he's vulnerable to children. And the same thing is happening now with Mr. Mandrovich. We're going to spend millions of dollars to get him extradited from Israel to New York. We are going to make a whole jury and a grand jury and whatnot. This is going to cost taxpayers $10 million. And at the end of the day, Mr. Himes still needs the votes. He's going to make a deal behind the table. When we tell him how bad these sexual problems is in the community, then he says one thing: we'll make a big meeting and we'll talk about it. And he comes and he invites three other big rabbis, and he's the first speaker, and the meeting is made, obviously, not in the Waldorf Astoria, because we didn't think that we're going to fill up the Waldorf Astoria. It was in a little smaller place. It was in the Bicker Holim of Borough Park, which has a capacity of 20 people. And who came there? Mr. Charles Himes. And the theme was protecting our children from sexual crimes. And there were another three speakers, and myself, and his secretary, and two other listeners. That's all. So now he's going down in the history that he's doing something to protect our children. And that's the joke that's happening. What we need in this community is, just like if somebody kills another person, and you're a witness, and in order for you to come forward, you get what they call witness protection, or the same is true that they get what they call grand jury protection, jurors protection, we need that protection. There are, in my listing, I have more than 100 people who want to come forward, who molested them and everything. And they need help. But they're not going to come forward because they'll throw his brother out of school.
Or they'll throw his father out of the shul, the synagogue, where he has been gone to for the past 20 or 30 years, with no problem to do that.
Synagogues are government money, it's tax money. And that's even if they're legit 100%, it's tax money. It's public money. And they're abusing that system. And this is a shame of what's being done. And then if you finally decide you go to the police and you get arrested, you get somebody arrested, they would let them out on the other side. And if you're strong enough, like this man that I was telling you, he used the child abuse, they're threatening him day and night on his children. They're not going to do this. They're not going to let him in. Where is our witness protection? Where is it? The liaisons are killing it. And that's what's happening. I myself went to the FBI to try to explain this to them. And I had a meeting with them. And the answer was as follows, quote, if somebody will harm you, we'll try to investigate, but only if it's a bias-related, organized gang. So now you have no better bias-related organized gang than extorting millions of dollars and having our children in jeopardy. We have no safe community. Anybody can come in here and do anything with our children, we won't have who to talk to. And if we'll talk to somebody, we'll get hit in the head.
It was a few weeks ago when I stopped my hotline because I was threatened by gunpoint. I spoke on the Zev Brenner show, and there were 500,000 people listening. And Mr. Dov Hykin has heard about the show, and he got involved very heavy to try to save the community. I went up to his office and I tried to explain to him that we first have to make a few days, they call this repentance days, people who want to stop, and also people that need help, the one that's doing the crimes and the one that has done the crimes to him, we need to start a clean page with everybody getting help on the government's expense. And he agreed to it because he thought that was the best thing to do. He hired one of the top psychologists, Dr. Vincent Twersky, who him and his father, they're known to be in this field the top of the line. What did they do to this Dr. Vincent Twersky? They also threatened him that he has to get out of the office. After he had signed a contract, he had to break the contract. What kind of message is this sending to the community? It's sending them a message that the pedophiles are very strong, they're here to stay, they're here to fight and to kill, if need, anybody that stands in their way and anybody that wants to stop adultery. Now, where is the government watching all of this and not saying anything and not getting involved and not putting their foot down and saying, hey, there is something wrong in this community? There is a story in the community of a principal that's accused of being a molester. So instead of going away nicely, like the family wanted it should happen, they're fighting it. They're fighting to put him back on his job. He is back on his job against everybody's will. Everybody is annoyed. Everybody is angry. And they know that their children are in the same jeopardy as this boy was because of this principal. Why are they fighting that that principal should stay there? Why doesn't he get out? It's also a money concern because a brother of his works in the finance department and he knows all the black monies that come in and the monies that they give back, kickbacks, and he's threatening that he is going to become an informer. So that money, the black money, has to jeopardize the safety of our children. I'll tell you what, let's arrest both of them, the black money handler and the one that's doing adultery, and let's get rid of them, and let's make a clean community. I went to London to try to help them out to get one of the principals out of the school that he molested children. So what did they do? Very simple. The man who was supposed to be the one that his son was supposed to come to witness, the night before they went to his house, a mob of 20 people has said, we'll burn down your house, we're going to burn your car, and we're going to kill you. So they never came, and the principal is back in office. Is this a way to handle a situation? No. out. The newspaper, The Guardian, calls me out from London. We want to know what's happening with the sexual abuse in the Jewish and the Orthodox community. I said, and if you'll know, can you help me about it? Or just you want to know about it? You want to smear the Jewish name all over the place? We should look just like the Catholic Church? That's not going to help us. We have problems and we're trying to deal with it. But the question is, how can we deal with it? We don't have the solution. If the liaisons from the police, they alone commit crimes, sexual crimes, and they're on the list, on NYPD's list of child molesterers, and the money situation that these rabbis are getting in from these people who are going around calling themselves safeguard for mothers, and they're extorting enough money that so many people are making a big bundle on it, and all other sections put money on the table from these rabbis to try to shut up the other guy to whom they did the fall to. So what is going to be the end of it? Mr. Dov Heiken is trying to help some people, but that's nothing. Those people will be helped, fine. But where do we go afterwards? What's going to stop these pedophiles from not doing it again tomorrow? There has to be an arrest system and a jail system, and there has to be that you got to go through the system, and there has to be punishment for the evil things that they do. We just can't let him get away with it. And in the same time, we can't let these rabbis get away with this extortion money. It's ridiculous how they're operating with this kind of market. They can shut it, it's quiet. So I asked him, how much was it, $5,000? He says, what, are you kidding? The lawyer's $25,000. The jail is like 10 years. So you think he gave him $5,000? What, are you joking? So they know what they're doing, and it's a shame of what's happening. They also use false terminologies on everything. When they shut me down, they didn't say that they're shutting me down for the right reason. They didn't say because I'm ruining their extortion plans. There were tens of people who told them, no more, this is Rosenberg time, we're not giving you anything, you're extortionists. They use different language. The reason why we have to shut you down is because on the hotline you talk about things that shouldn't be listened by teenagers and small children. And I told them, liars, they should be listening to this. They're the ones that I want to reach. They have to be able to defend themselves and protect themselves. And if they're being attacked in a mikveh or any other place, they should scream, keep your hands to yourselves. Is they're making most of these people who watch the way they operate, they should turn away from religion. We unfortunately have a number of boys and girls that don't want to hear about Judaism, and they all claim because of rabbis like this, they saw the way they operated in such a filthy, low down character manner. That's why they don't want to have anything to do with religion. And it's a shame, because who was doing it? Rabbis, the one that's supposed to be observing the Torah. And they're the ones who are supposed to attract other people to Judaism. And they're not doing it. On the contrary, they're doing exactly the opposite. So again, this is my message to you. If there will be no protection for people who come forward, we are going to have to suffer, because there will be nobody who's going to come forward. To Dov Heiken, they come forward because they know it's not getting into the legal authorities. The minute it's going to legal authorities, nobody would come to him either. And the other thing is, there's going to be a major upstand in the community, because the people are not here to suffer with this garbage. You wouldn't believe that tens and tens of people told me when they took their child to the school the first time, they said, listen, Mr. Teacher, if I find out that you touched my son, his private things, I will make sure that I won't need Mr. Rosenberg, I won't need the child abuse, I won't need Charles Hines, I won't need NYPD, not the 66 precinct and not the 90. I will take your gun or I will take your knife and I will kill you in front of all the children. And that's the unfortunate thing that's happening, that this is not the way a child should go to school, and this is not the threat that a teacher should get, and at the same time, it's definitely not the threat that parents should have, the fear that their children would be molested, and yet they're paying $500, $600, and $700 a month for this teacher to educate their child. There's no way that in year 2008 in the United States of America that this should be the way things should go in educating small children. It's a big, big shame. And the same thing is going on to everybody that's trying to reveal what's happening. The same thing goes on if any parents come forward to complain. The same thing happens to me when I had the hotline that I educated these people. It's all the same. Now I'm not talking on my hotline because I'm talking to you, and this is going to go on onto a worldwide web. But do you think that they'll let this go through? No. They'll call me up in a day or two, and they'll follow me again, and they'll start with the gun again. So what am I supposed to do? Should I also take a gun? Is that the way we're going to stop these molesting of these children? I mean, you have to understand, where's the protection? When I went into the police and I told them what's happening, I called 911. They came to my house 4 hours later because the liaison in the 90 told them, don't worry about this man. 4 hours later, they came. They came in 2 minutes and said, I'm sorry, we have another call. And just took their name and they ran away. A detective will call you in 2 days. 4 days go by, nobody calls me. I go into the station. The detective says, you didn't even make it upstairs. Why? The liaisons. They killed the downstairs. They didn't even let it go up to the detectives. The same thing is, I had the same in London. The exact same problem. The exact thing is happening in Israel, in the tight-knit Jewish community of Bnei Brak. I have a report from the police of Ramat Gan, and they say that in the tight-knit community, like Bnei Brak, there's so many molesting going on, and not even 1% gets to the police. And they write a cute joke. If anybody's a molester and he's looking for children, they should go live in Bnei Brak. And why is this happening? Because these rabbis are giving a message that you're not allowed to go to the government because it's called informing, and informing is not acceptable by the Jewish law. And I'm trying to teach the people, and I'm doing this for 2 years, that if somebody would come with a gun to you, or he would want to rob you, or he would steal your possession, you're allowed to go to the police, right? Okay. Why? Because once upon a time, when there were colonies in the United States, what everybody does is he protected his family. He bought a gun, he bought a knife, he had to protect his family. Then the government said, we don't want people to be protecting their own. We are going to protect everybody, put away the guns, put away the knives, and we have a court system. So basically, anything that goes wrong, and you have to protect yourself, you have to go to them. Because otherwise, you have no protection. Because they took away your private protection, that you can't protect yourself, and in the same time, they're going to give it to you. But if you don't use that, you're finished. Now, if somebody steals something from you, you understand he stole your possession. Now, in the Torah, it says clearly, just as somebody gets up and kills his friend, the same is to do adultery. Because it's exactly the same as killing. And you know what? It's even worse than killing. Because when you kill somebody, everything is forgotten. These people are so messed up in their minds. Unbelievable. They are so messed up. A lot of people that came to me say the same thing. They say, you have a brain in your head. We don't. We have an old, stale, rotten tomato there. We can't think straight. We can't function straight. We can't live a life straight. We can't raise children straight. We're always messed up. And this is what we have to aim for. We have to aim that our big rabbonim, rabbis, that signed that it's not called informing. We have to teach the people that you have to start speaking out. But we have to teach the government that we need protection. If anybody attacks somebody or threatens somebody or throws up his children because he went to give over to the police somebody that molested his children or so forth and so on, he has to have full protection. And as long as this won't happen, trust me, every penny is a waste. Mr. Dov Hykens is not getting any place. He's just going to have files over files. But the minute he will tell him, listen, come to the police or come to the district attorney to complain, so this way the people should see that there's arrests made and it's not a free-for-all game, until that doesn't happen, it's a waste of time. And when he started the program, I told him originally, we're going to make this only to a certain point so that the people who were molested years ago should be able to get help. But if you're not going to follow it up with an arrest program on people who do it now, then trust me, it's a waste of your time, it's a waste of the people's time, and it's a waste of the taxpayers' money. Because when they took me down, and they took down this rabbi, Benzion Twersky, the pedophiles are becoming stronger. And they're doing more harm again, because the calls are coming in now. Those last 2 years, when I was teaching them, and they were starting to scream and all, the pedophiles had to behave themselves for the time being. But now, if you can threaten with a gun, then they can tomorrow, they're going to threaten Dov Hynken also. And even if they don't threaten him, just by giving everybody help doesn't stop the pedophiles. He'll do what he shouldn't be doing, and then the guy will go for free help. And all this is wrong, and this is why I'm talking to you. I'm trying to explain to you that we need protection, and then the people will start coming forward. We also need a liaison in the 90 precinct and in the 66 and in all the Jewish communities, a right-wing liaison, that when he hears a problem like this, he makes sure that the government does not overlook it. And if the guy needs to be arrested, he should be arrested. Thank you very much. I will still talk to you, but for the time being, have a good day.